Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu chapter 4. In the last parak, we learned how Yirmiyahu went to the north to either actually bring back some of the exiles of Israel, or he spoke about doing so figuratively to encourage teshuva. He created a script for the Jewish people to admit and feel shame over their actions rather than continuing to function from denial. This parak continues from that nevuah. Yirmiyahu tells Yehuda, "Im tashuv Yisrael, if you will return Israel." Radzak says this follows the last parak. He says, "If you would only say vidoy, as was described in the last parak, and admit your fault, Hashem will not need to exile the people. But you can't waver and backtrack. This can't be a half-hearted attempt where you say one thing but act in another way behind closed doors. They need to pledge loyalty to Hashem sincerely by saying, Chai Hashem, swearing of the name of Hashem be'emes, truly, then the result will be, v'hisparchu bo gayim uvo yishalalu. The nation will be blessed in it and glory in it." Rashi says the other nations, will bless their children. You should be like that wonderful Jewish person over there. The more they are able to be connected to the Jewish people, the more the other nations will be praised. The Radak points out that when Hashem first told Abraham to travel to Eretz Canaan, he made a promise, using a similar language, that all the nations would be blessed through him. The nations of the world will benefit greatly from a world which is connected to Hashem. When Abraham's children act in the manner set forth for them by Abraham, that promise will find its fullest expression. Verse 3, Yirmiyahu warns both individuals and the community to change. Niru lachem nir, v'al tizru el kotzim. Break up for you a fallow ground, but don't sow thorns. The Mincha Gdola explains that a farmer has a process before they start planting for growth. First, they till the soil, and that way, when they plant seeds, weeds don't grow in the same place. Each person in the nation needs to work on himself and break up the hard parts of his heart and get rid of his own sins first. Doing so prepares themselves to grow. The Mishpat Zahav explains how this applies to Yerushalayim. The community needs to have boundaries as to what is acceptable and have the judicial mechanism to deal with those who violate these ideals. The tshuva process is described in verse 4. Echoing the words of Moshe in the Torah, the nation must be Basilu Arlas Levavchem, take away the foreskins of your heart. They can't accept that they are drawn to every physical pleasure and idol. They need to make changes. Lest my fury go forth like fire and burn that none can extinguish it. The fire is the first stage of destruction. Without tshuva, Yehuda must prepare for a sudden attack where they will need to flee. Tiku shofar ba'aretz, blow the horn in the land. They will need to warn everyone of what is coming. Their cities won't have enough protection. They will decide to escape to fortified cities. But even that won't be adequate, says the Malbim. Verse 6, Su'une Siona Ha'izu Al Ta'amodu, raise up a flag to let everyone know to flee to the fortress of Tzion, to Yerushalayim. Flee, don't stand still. There is a panic of war because the great destruction is coming from the north. That destruction is coming from a new empire, Babel, led by Nebuchadnezzar. The Radak says that the ruler, Nebuchadnezzar, is compared to a lion, an apex predator, as no nation will be able to resist the power of the Babylonian army. At this time, the Assyrian army was falling apart, and the Chaldeans were expanding and taking over the lands controlled by the Assyrians. This Nebuchadnezzar has a goal to conquer the known world. There will be times when he leaves Israel to reinforce his power at home, but he will come back and destroy the land in battle. Yirmiyahu warns the people that unlike close calls in the past with Chizkiyahu and Sennacherib, they should mourn because this attacker will be successful. Verse 8. The fierce anger of Hashem is not being turned back from us. Rashi tells us that this happened in the time of Yoshiyahu. Paro wanted to cross through the lands, but Yoshiyahu felt that the nation was holy enough to merit Hashem's protection from any incursion from any foreign nations. But since the people were not honest, the destruction came. This was their last chance, and the nation should mourn openly on their loss. The events of the conquest will be horrific. In Perek Beis, we heard how the leadership contributed to the moral decay of the people. Here, we learn that the leaders not only swindled their followers, but had themselves fooled as well. When they are attacked, they will lose all hope and be shocked by what is unfolding. Verse 9, on that day, Yovad lev ha-melech v'lev ha-sarim, v'nashamu ha-kohanim v'ha-neviyim yismahu. The heart of the king shall fail, the heart of the princes, and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Yirmiyahu interjects as he says this nevuah, Hashem, you have said something not true. Verse 10. Hashay hi sheisa la'am hazeh, v'yushlayim le'mor, shalom yalachem. You have greatly deceived this people in Yerushalayim, saying, you will have peace. We know that Hashem could not lie. When did he say that they would have peace? According to the Mitzvah David, Yirmiyahu is questioning how Hashem let there be Nevi'e Sheker, false prophets that made everyone calmer and not change in time to prevent the impending disaster. Had Hashem intervened and stopped the Nevi'e Sheker, the nation could have improved. By allowing the Nevi'e Sheker to live, this gave the message that the nation would have peace. Instead, the enemy is coming. After the destruction represented by fire in the previous Pesukim, a hot wind will blow over the wilderness. Generally, wind cleans the air, and it moves seeds from one area to another to grow, especially after a forest fire. But in this case, it's just a hot wind. It just spreads destruction and has no positive purpose. When this strong wind comes, Yirmiyahu will also address the people, as the Nevi'e Sheker have done, but his words won't help them. The enemies with their horses are represented in the Pesukim as incredibly destructive forces of nature, as clouds and whirlwinds and eagles, and they will continue to assail Yehuda. Yehuda cries out from the force of the attack. Verse 13. Oy lanu, kishudadnu. Woe unto us, we are at the mercy of their pillage. Yirmiyahu begs the people, do tshuva, wash yourself of sin. He is like a person throwing a life preserver out to a drowning person who refuses to be saved. Yirmiyahu pleads with them to fix the root of all their problems, which is their thinking that they don't need Hashem. Verse 14, Ad masai talin bikirbech machshavos oneich. How long will you hold on to thoughts about your own power? The nation needs to change their philosophy about what they can do with their power and whether they are subject to the rules of Hashem. The lessons from what happened in Israel should be waking them up. Verse 15. Ki kol magid midan umashmiya aven mehar Ephraim. For a voice declares from Dan and announces sins from the hills of Ephraim. Yisrael, represented by their prominent locations in Dan and Ephraim, also thought they could abuse others because of their wealth. Rav Breuer points out that their reliance on their own, mentioned in Pasuk 14, their power, caused them to become involved in aven, in sin, which is mentioned in verse 15. Yehuda should have heard the message that Yisrael was destroyed. The same thing will happen to Yehuda if they do not change. Yirmiyahu tries to warn the people again. Hiskiru bagayim, mention about the nations. Hishmiu al Yerushalayim, about what is happening to Yerushalayim. Foreigners are coming to siege the city. They will surround Yerushalayim like guards in a field. This is all happening because, verse 17, Osi Marasa, she was rebellious against me. Yirmiyahu turns to the people to remind them that all the attacks are coming because of their actions. Verse 18, Zos Ra'asech, this is because of your wickedness. Kimar Kinaga Arlibech, it is bitter so that it will reach your heart. Hashem is not doing this out of vengeance. He loves the Jewish people and wants them to have a good life in this world and in the next. As Yirmiyahu gives the message, we can sense that his heart is breaking. It is gut-wrenching. He hears the sound of the shofar. He sees visions of the approach of war and the destruction. He knows what is coming. Verse 19, May I, ochila kiros libi. My bowels, I writhe in pain, the chambers of my heart. He sees waves of destruction and the suddenness of when the Mikdash will be destroyed. In this pasuk, there is a kri and a ksiv. It is written differently than what it is read. Rav Breuer explains why the word is written as achola, which means I am sick, but read as ochila, as hope. As Yirmiyahu gives his nevuah, he's holding two conflicting emotions. He is sick over what he sees in his nevuah, but he keeps holding on to hope that maybe the nation will listen to him and change. Yirmiyahu questions how long will he have visions of the impending doom, of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and all the Bet Medrash and the Bate Knesios, the yeshivas and shuls in the land of Israel, and the visions of the exiles during the time of Yechaniah and then Zedekiyahu. Even as he hopes they will change, he knows that they won't change. They are immature, foolish, and don't recognize the consequences of their actions. The people think they are smart, but they are fools. They use their intelligence and ingenuity to do bad, but don't use that same gift to do anything good. Chachamim hema lahara, lehetiv lo yadu. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. The next few psukim describe the chaos that is coming to the world that parallels the creation of the world. Yirmiyahu sees tohu uvahu, chaos. He sees a world without light. He sees the mountains and valleys created on the third day ruined. He sees a land without man or animals. The world was created for a purpose. B'shvil Reishis, it was created for the Torah and for the Jewish people. As the Jewish people abandoned the Torah, the world should be thrown back to its original chaos. Hashem did not destroy the world because of the righteousness of Tzidkiyahu. Instead, says the Mincha Gedolah, Hashem will destroy something that is a brick-and-mortar building rather than annihilating all the people. Verse 26, Ra'isi v'nei ha-karmel ha-midbar v'chol arav nitzu. I have seen where once there was fruited fields, there was wilderness, and all its cities have been destroyed. Someone was once traveling in the Catskills and happened upon the home whack. There was a tree growing. It was what had been the pristine pool of this resort. The change from something glorious to being uninhabitable happens very quickly. This process was happening in Israel and was speeded up by Hashem. The land of Israel was completely desolate for 52 years, with no people and not even birds flying over it. This happened because Hashem had decreed this. Pasuk 27, Shmama tiyeh kol haaretz v'chala lo eseh. The whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not destroy it completely. The punishments will be exacted on objects rather than on people. Hashem tried to delay the punishments, hoping for tshuva. The world should mourn that its purpose has not reached fulfillment and the destruction will come. Verse 28, V'lo nichamti v'lo ashuv mimena. I have not had remorse, neither will I turn back from it. We can almost hear the sounds of destruction that are described in verse 29. There are horsemen and bowmen, people fleeing into forests, and cities are now devoid of people. What are the Jewish people doing at this time as they are being pillaged? They should be doing tshuva. Instead, their focus is on impressing their neighbors. Verse 30. Ki silbashi shani, ki sa'adi adi zahav, ki tikri'i bafuch enayach, b'shav tisyapi ma'asuvach ogvim nafsheich yivakeshu. You clothe yourself in purple, deck yourself with golden ornaments, and enlarge your eyes with paint. You beautify yourselves in vain. Your loves despise you. They seek your life. The Navi ends the parak with the agonizing cry of pain Yehuda screams during the destruction. It is like the scream of a woman in labor, giving birth to her first child, which is the most painful. Kol basion tisyapeach tifareish kapeha oinali ki aifa nafshi lahargim. The voice of the daughter of Zion gasps for breath. She spreads her hands. Woe is me now, for my soul faints before the murderers. These tragic screams have within them a message of hope. On the one hand, it is a woman being murdered. On the other hand, Rav Breuer says, the Navi sees in this painful end a new beginning. The woman is in labor and bringing new life into this world. All the destruction is leading to a new life for the Jewish nation. The Mishpatzot Zahav says that Chazal say that in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, is when Mashiach will be born. Through the destruction of what hasn't worked, there is new hope for the future. In this parak, Yirmiyahu warns Yehuda to do tshuva. Hashem would take them back if the tshuva is sincere. However, in the end, the people focus on impressing other people with their externals rather than focusing on themselves. The destruction that comes, which seems like the end, is actually a new beginning. The Beis Halevi warns us to take this lesson of this Nevuah to heart. When we are in Galus, we should not focus on materialism and fashion to fit in and be accepted. This will lead to further antagonism. Our focus should be on being the best Jews possible. From destruction is where our salvation comes. At times of trouble, we should focus on Torah, Tefillah, and Tshuva. These changes will bring the new beginning we are hoping for. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.